The SAP story from 404 Media is the business headline of the day, and it's worth reading carefully because it's more complex than the lead suggests. SAP, the German enterprise software giant with over 100,000 employees and annual revenue exceeding 35 billion euros, has halted most travel and paused hiring. The stated reason is that AI infrastructure costs have become the dominant line item in the technology budget, crowding out discretionary spending.
The numbers, while not fully disclosed in the article, apparently reflect a budget dynamic that's being whispered about at a lot of large enterprises right now. GPU compute for AI inference and training is expensive. A single H100 GPU costs around $30,000. And organizations running large language models at production scale need clusters of them. For a company SAP's size that has made significant public commitments to AI-powered features across its product suite, those costs compound quickly.
The HN thread has 12 comments, and the reaction is mixed between sympathy and skepticism. The skeptical camp points out that halting travel and hiring at a company with SAP's market capitalization, roughly 270 billion euros as of mid-2026, suggests either the AI cost problem is being used as a convenient justification for cuts that were planned anyway, or that SAP's AI investments are genuinely producing costs without yet producing commensurate revenue. Neither interpretation is flattering.
From an industry perspective, this is an early signal of something that's going to become a much bigger story over the next 12 to 18 months. The assumption embedded in most enterprise AI business cases is that inference costs will keep falling, and historically that's been true. Moore's law applied to GPU compute. But the rate of cost reduction for frontier AI inference has been slower than some optimists projected. And enterprises that built financial models assuming faster cost decline are now holding the gap with discretionary budget.
The App Store retraction from Daring Fireball deserves attention because of what it reveals about how tech journalism sometimes gets the story wrong. The original App Store Rejection of the Week post highlighted what appeared to be an unreasonable rejection by Apple. John Gruber published a retraction, 214 points, 27 comments, acknowledging that Apple's rejection was actually correct, and the original write-up misunderstood the guideline being applied. The developer had submitted an app that did violate the policy, and the framing of it as arbitrary rejection was inaccurate.
The HN thread is interesting because it's mostly praising Gruber for publishing the retraction publicly and clearly. In a media environment where corrections are often buried or minimized, a prominent retraction with the same level of visibility as the original story is genuinely notable. Several commenters observe that App Store criticism sometimes conflates legitimate policy enforcement with arbitrary rejection, and that conflation can make it harder to identify the cases where Apple is actually acting in bad faith.
The ultra-wideband runner tracking system from Ghent University is one of those projects that demonstrates how academic engineering can produce genuinely impressive results on limited budgets. The 12-hour loop running event needed a way to track runners' positions in real time without GPS, which is unreliable indoors or in dense urban environments. The team built a local positioning system using UWB radio transceivers, the same technology in iPhone precision location features, to triangulate positions to within 30 centimeters.
The open source solar eclipse map for August 12th is the most immediately practical story for anyone in the continental US this week. The eclipse is in 3 days, and eclipsefan.org has built an interactive map showing the path of totality, the 3D shadow projection, and crucially, a cloud forecast overlay. Because the map uses OpenStreetMap data and is open source, communities along the path have been using it to coordinate viewing events.
And now, I want to do something we try to build into the show regularly, which is turn our most confident claim around and stress test it. The SAP story gives us a good target. The emerging consensus from the HN thread, and frankly, from how we've been framing it this morning, is that AI infrastructure costs are genuinely spiraling and are now a meaningful constraint on enterprise technology budgets. That claim feels well supported. But let's ask, what would it look like if we're wrong?
The strongest counterargument is that SAP is a particular kind of company, heavily acquisition-driven, famously complex, operating with multiple legacy compute environments that are expensive to run regardless of AI. When SAP says AI costs are the problem, it's worth asking whether they're attributing to AI a cost that's actually the consequence of a broader architectural debt situation where they're running too many things in too many clouds simultaneously.
Fair. And there's a second assumption embedded in our read, that enterprises broadly face this problem. But what if the cost consciousness at SAP reflects their specific failure to negotiate good GPU pricing rather than an industry-wide issue? Hyperscalers, AWS, Azure, Google Cloud have all been cutting AI inference pricing aggressively in 2026. Companies that built on cloud APIs rather than owning their own GPU clusters might be in a meaningfully better position than companies that went the CapEx route.
The assumption we'd most need to revisit if we're wrong is that falling inference prices don't rescue the business case. If NVIDIA's next generation delivers the efficiency gains that have been previewed, and if the software-level optimization work in frameworks like VLLM continues to compound, enterprise AI running costs could drop 40 to 60% in 18 months. If that happens, the SAP hiring freeze looks like a temporary correction rather than a structural industry shift.
So if you want to watch for the signal that we're wrong about AI costs being a durable constraint, look at enterprise SaaS renewal rates for AI-forward products in late 2026. If customers are renewing at premium tiers and AI features are visibly driving retention, the cost problem is solvable and companies will absorb it. If renewal rates disappoint and AI features become table stakes included in base pricing, the margin pressure will be structural and long-lasting.
Concrete signal. I like it. One more story before we close this segment, the How to Survive in a Louisiana Swamp piece from Unheard. It has only 7 points, but it's a Sunday, and sometimes you just want to read something completely orthogonal to everything else. The piece is genuinely interesting on its own terms. Practical advice about navigation, food sourcing, water purification in wetland environments. The HN comment, singular, just says, great way to start a Sunday, which is hard to argue with.